Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's October the 11th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And then we'll discuss the cash grain market a bit later with Bill Mayer. He's at the Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, after 8,500 man-hours, USDA has failed to find out why Bayer Crop Sciences rice was contaminated with GMO genes. The IRS is on the lookout for 1031 exchange abuses as related to capital gains, and the lower price of natural gas may not translate into cheaper anhydrous ammonia. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Thursday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat at $8.83, up the 30-cent limit. March contract at $8.98.5, up 30 as well. And July futures at $6.86, were 20 and a quarter cents higher. December futures down 3.5 cents in the corn pit at $3.43.75. March futures at $3.60.75. The May at $3.70.75, and December at $3.93.75, all five of those contracts, four of those contracts, were down 3.5 cents in the corn pit today. November beans at $9.81.5, 13 and a quarter higher. January futures at $10.05, up 14 and a quarter. The March contract, 12 and a half cents higher at $10.10.75. November beans, $9.50. Up 4.5 cents. October bean meal, $2.72, $3.20 higher. October bean oil at $39.40, up 50 for the day. October live cattle at the Mercantile Exchange, 57.5 cents higher, $94.67.5 the final trade for the day. December futures up $1.15 at $97.77.5. October feeder cattle at $114.35, $1.15 higher. November futures up $1.40 at $114.47.5, and the October lean hogs at $57.55 were 17.5 cents higher. From the outside markets, nearby November crude oil at $83.11 a barrel, up $1.81. December futures at $82.32, up $1.71. The dollar at 78.076 is down 0.239, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 14,057. It's down just about 21 points at the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at one half of the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace on the day before we get a USDA report on crop production numbers and the carryover.
Well, I think you can just look at the way the market closed today and kind of tell you what the trade's betting on tomorrow morning. I mean, it's betting to see another supply tightening take place in the world balance sheets of wheat. For the most part, USDA, I think, has got the Australian wheat crop too high, so they're going to have to come down on that. And then that will tighten overall world supplies again. So I think, you know, you have to bet on a friendly type, some numbers from the USDA on the wheat balance sheets. The stocks report showed us with a smaller crop probably than what USDA's got on the books with those smaller stocks numbers coming out here about a week and a half ago or so. So I think you can see what the wheat traders are betting on is another friendly type report. Beans, pretty much the same way. There's been an awful lot of discussion here over the past week here about USDA changing their acreage levels, maybe lowering the soybean acres down some, maybe raising the corn acres up some. I guess I'm kind of in the opinion that I think those acreage adjustments could go either way, or they could just stay the same. I guess one argument for maybe some acreage adjustments is that the June 30th number that USDA released was an estimate. Now they can incorporate some of the farm service data that farmers had to report their acres, I think, by July 15th or so. So they got some harder numbers. So there's at least reason to think that maybe there could be some acreage adjustments if, and then maybe on some actual survey data that they did during the month of October. So corn, I think everybody's fairly comfortable that the corn yield's going up. We've heard nothing but fantastic yields. But on the other hand, I think the corn market is holding up awfully well, given a lot of that bullish talk and the size of the crop that the trade's expecting. So I guess I'm one to think that maybe USDA is still, that September 1 stocks number wasn't quite right. You know, a lot of people argued that the larger September 1 stocks number was a result of ethanol crushings and the GDDs reducing feed requirements and all that. I guess I'm one that thinks that that number probably reflected a lot of early harvest data and that old crop supplies are probably tighter than what the balance sheet reflected, and I think that explains why the corn market rallied during the month of December, during the month of September, and that may be offsetting some of this big yield, big production talk that we're currently having with this year's harvest.
So in that case, you would be not convinced. I got to think about this just a second. Which direction do you think it's? You think that the numbers are going to come out and look a little bigger tomorrow?
Well, number one, you got to remove any kind of acreage adjustments now, and I do think that we're open to acreage adjustments. I think one fact is that this is the first year that we saw such a big shift in direction from corn to out of soybeans into corn. We saw big increases in corn, big drops in soybeans. That alone maybe opens the door for some readjustments. Maybe USDA's estimate, their methodology that they used during the on the June report, maybe overstated the adjustment one way or the other. So I do think that there's room for acreage adjustments. And then I think, you know, when you incorporate the actual plannings, the numbers that were reported to the Farm Service Agency offices, that also gives you reason to think that there could be some acreage adjustments. But I think that you're going to look for a big crop. I do think the yields are big, whether we have a 2-bushel or a 4-bushel increase before it's all over with. I think the trend is in that direction. But what I'm saying is that I think the market is still reflecting the way the market is held up under this big crop talk is that I don't think old crop inventories were as large as what is on the tables. Therefore, ending stocks levels may not be as large as what the trade is thinking going to be because of this big crop.
You mean from the 06 crop?
From the 06-07 marketing year, yes. USDA, you know, the stocks came out a little higher than what the trade was looking at. I think that higher number was a result of bringing some of the 07 production into the 06-07 crop year. And that's why we got a larger number, because those stocks were as of September 1st, and we had a lot of harvest activity completed by September 1st in the southern portions of the state.
And so what you're saying is that the stocks number may be, the ending stocks for 07 is the one you'd be looking for to be lowered?
Well, I don't know if USDA will ever lower it.
Because you don't think they'll admit it?
Corn has a residual factor in it. But what I'm saying is I think that number is, I don't think we had the inventory of corn stocks that's on the balance sheet. And if I'm right, I think we'll get confirmation of that on the January-December 1st stocks number, that January 1st December 1st stocks number could come in lower than what everybody expects because some of this year's production was moved backwards into the 06-07 crop year because of the early harvest.
And what your intention here is to say is that the strength in September was because the trade had expected that.
Well, the market reflected that.
Yeah.
The market reflected a tighter supply than what actually was on the table.
So what does that mean when the numbers come out tomorrow?
Well,
anything or nothing?
You'll have to look at the reaction, how the market reacts. Will be the key thing, because I think everybody's expecting a larger yield, a larger production, and even if USDA comes out with that, we'll see what happens to how the market reacts. I do know that here, as the seasonals turn up, you can look at any kind of average seasonal pattern, and corn and soybeans, you know, have a strong tendency to carve out a harvest low during the first week or first 10 days of October, or turn up out of a harvest low, and then strengthen in November. And I think your end users, your feedlots, your chicken people, your hog feeders, I think world buyers always looking at that seasonal because you've seen a big pickup in end user demand. Export activity has been very strong. You can kind of look at that on the export sales number. The trade's looking for another set of strong numbers tomorrow morning. So here we are, you know, halfway through harvest, and that end user buying that usually comes in during harvest is here, and that is what's providing some underlying support to the market. Corn is probably the heaviest, as you can see here, because of the big crop. But that demand for wheat continues, demand for soybeans continues, and those balance sheets are much tighter than corn, so it's easier for them to go up.
All right, Dan, we'll let you go for the afternoon, and we'll look forward to talking to you again and seeing the numbers tomorrow morning from USDA.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, joins us on Thursday afternoons here on the Closing Market Report. By the way, thanks. Thanks so much to the more than 275 friends of WILL who pledged by phone and online this morning, 275, and the friends who provided the some $40,000 to match this morning's pledges. A total of more than $80,000 was raised in support of the programs you enjoy right here on WILL, including the ag programming. So we're off to a great start, and we're able to shorten our fall fund drive to just, what, 5 days? That'll begin tomorrow. If you didn't get in the excitement today, don't worry about it. We'll give you plenty more opportunities. Starting tomorrow, you can pledge your financial support to the radio station that brings you agriculture 6 days a week. And thanks again, the numbers, $80,000 raised this morning, 275 friends of WILL pledged online and by phone, and a couple hundred more before that as we headed into this pledge drive period. We appreciate it a lot right here at the radio station.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
At the bottom of the hour, Pete Levitt will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Ed Keezers has tonight across the two-state region in Illinois and in the far southwestern parts of Indiana. Clear to partly cloudy skies. Elsewhere in Indiana, mostly cloudy. Some scattered showers in the north. Lows this evening from 35 in northwestern Illinois to 43 in the south. Tomorrow in Illinois and in the west central parts and southwestern parts of Indiana, partly to mostly sunny. Elsewhere in Indiana, mostly cloudy. A few isolated showers possible. Highs tomorrow from 54 in the far northern parts of Indiana to 66 in the far southern parts of Illinois. A warm front should push northward through Illinois and Indiana during the weekend. Dave Dickey's here now. He's got a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, USDA says it failed to find out why long grain rice strains produced by Bayer Crop Science were contaminated with GMO genes. USDA says it spent more than 8,500 hours investigating the contamination and made site visits to more than 45 locations in 11 states and Puerto Rico. USDA says it is considering a number of policies to strengthen its enforcement and investigation capabilities. The Internal Revenue Service says it will keep closer watch for potential abuse of 1031 exchanges to defer capital gains taxes. Last month, a report by the Government Accountability Office criticized the IRS's lack of oversight. The IRS says it will soon conduct a study on how many taxpayers are complying and plans to revise taxpayer instructions for 1031 property. Until recently, more than half the farmland that traded hands in Illinois involved 1031 exchanges. Brazil, India, and South Africa have refused to open their manufacturing markets in world trade talks despite concessions from the U.S. on farm subsidies. U.S. trade representative officials say it's a big step backwards for negotiations. In the words of U.S. Trade Rep spokesperson Sean Spicer, this could be the beginning of the end of the Doha Round. A spokesperson from USA's Office of Energy says don't expect lower natural gas prices will mean lower fertilizer prices. Harry Bamas says demand is a huge issue.
Unfortunately, the demand for fertilizers worldwide is very strong. So as a consequence, even though gas costs may be declining, the demand for fertilizers is very strong, and that's keeping prices high. So this weakness of natural gas prices, you know, yeah, it's good. That's good news for the producers of ammonia or nitrogen products. But overall, the consumers of those products, the farmers, are probably not going to be seeing that in terms of lower cost.
Natural gas futures have been rallying the past 6 weeks. Bush administration officials say they are developing new rules so U.S. farmers can bring in more foreign guest workers. A White House spokesperson says the current temporary agricultural worker program is antiquated and cumbersome. The new regulations are aimed at reflecting today's economy and utilizing technological advances. Meanwhile, yesterday, a judge barred the Bush administration from proceeding with a program that would remove illegal immigrants from the workforce. A study sponsored by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the National Research Council says growing biofuel crops in areas with limited water supplies is a major concern. The report suggests using wastewater that would not be suitable for food crops to grow crops for biofuel on irrigated land. Other suggestions include growing more water-efficient crops. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find MP3 files for you to listen to most of the daily ag programming. You can download it directly to your computer as a podcast if you'd like. That'll happen automatically once you've signed up. Speaking of signing up, don't forget to sign up for our weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe. If you do that tomorrow morning, you'll get the crop production report in your email. That all happens right there on our website. The address is willag.org. Well, up next, in today's listener opinion forum, Champaign County Farm Bureau's Kirk Bilta says technological innovation has always played a role in U.S. agriculture.
Two horse teams, one row combines, open air tractor cabs, and now even tractor drivers are becoming a thing of the past. As researchers continue to make technological advances, the agricultural industry continues to benefit. Our industry has seen many great inventions over the years, from the cotton gin, patented by Eli Whitney in 1793, the horse-drawn reaper created by Cyrus McCormick in 1834, and the first commercially successful steel plow, created in 1837 by John Deere, right here in Illinois. All of these creations revolutionized the agricultural industry of the day while setting a precedent of quality for future innovators. Our fathers and grandfathers once picked corn by hand at the rate of 80 bushels per day, shelling their product later in the winter. Today, this seemingly small amount of corn is picked and shelled in just about 5 minutes. In 1965, a Farmall 706 would run on 76 horsepower, while today's John Deere four-wheel drive series runs with 530, all because of modern advances in technology. Today, farmers plant a BT corn crop resistant to the European corn borer and enjoy Roundup-ready soybeans. FM radios and tractor cabs were once a luxury, now a necessity. Through modern GPS technology, farmers can plant, harvest, or till farmland with precision accuracy. At the push of a button, the tractor can even steer itself, leaving the driver the time and ability to check grain prices or research hybrid crop varieties for next year's growing season, all from a laptop computer in the cab of a tractor. With these technologies, the world we live in is becoming more efficient, and the agricultural traditions our grandfathers took part in are disappearing, making way for the developments of the future. The release of drought-resistant crops, the perfection of GPS technology, and even increased research and development of ethanol, butanol, and soy biodiesel will transform our world. These advances, and others yet to be dreamed of, will alter the agricultural world and prepare the next generation to ask how they might leave their mark on the industry. My guess is these ideas will come while seated in a tractor cab or harvesting the family's corn crop. After all, I typed this message on my laptop computer from the comfort of my tractor seat while tilling 80 acres in East Central Illinois. For the Champaign County Farm Bureau, I'm Kirk Bilta.
Kirk Bilta's comments are his own and reflect his opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, call us at 217-333-0850.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Time now to take a look at what's been happening in the world of cash grain markets. And Bill Mayer, Rochag Marketing out of Lexington, joins us on a Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Now, folks, finishing up corn there?
Yeah, it's dropping off pretty fast here. I noticed today talking to some of the office people here that they've had several of them finish up today, and a lot of happy people, it seems like, getting done good pace here and good yields, good prices.
Can't be too terribly bad when you finish in early to mid-October, that's for sure.
Yeah.
They're happy with the prices. Are they willing sellers again after this last rally a bit?
Well, I think on the soybeans, obviously we're back up here to some levels pretty close to the highs that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're seeing some more beans move. I think that's kind of kept the bases a little bit at bay. Bean bases this past week has been a little bit interesting because you had the river and the SIF market were down a little bit. The processors here in Central Illinois actually a little bit higher, and some of your local bids, it seems like, as a bean harvest finished up, increasing, you know, 8 to 10 cents even in the local elevator. So interesting there on the corn side of it. It's just kind of black and white there too. The basis is pretty much improved and continues to improve about every day. SIF market, really, the Gulf market, I should say, really hadn't done a lot, but as you get into the river locations, they've improved. And I think, you know, as you can kind of see it move up the river as the harvest gets finished, I think trying to get some barges filled and things like that, probably they're bending up a little bit to try to get that grain they need to get that barge filled.
And speaking of bids, what are your bids for the day?
$3 for the cash corn, $3.15 for January, $9.30 on the beans, $9.47 for January, and $6.11 for new crop wheat.
Thanks much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoons to take a look at what's been happening in the world of the cash grain markets. Time now for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The chairman of Southern Illinois University's trustees says President Glenn Pichard will remain SIU's president with the board's full support. Chairman Roger Tedrick's comments came after a faculty panel today released the findings of its study of plagiarism claims that have dogged Pichard. The panel concluded that Pichard's postgraduate work appears to have met the citation standards at the time, but it wouldn't be up to snuff today. The panel recommends that Pichard publicly recognize the errors and correct them using currently acceptable practices. Pichard says he accepts the recommendations and takes full responsibility for what he calls inadvertent errors. Two environmental groups say they want Congress to restate the intentions of the 1972 Clean Water Act. They say recent judicial decisions have restricted the reach of the act, and a bill awaiting action in a House committee would extend the act to all bodies of water, not just those considered navigable. Environment Illinois issued a report today saying nearly half of all Illinois industries and municipal wastewater facilities exceeded their pollution output standards at least once during 2005. It listed 6 days of violations by the Urbana-Champaign Sanitary District, two of which the district's director attributes to the testing of a new phosphorus treatment system that he says is working fine now. Decatur is imposing water use restrictions on residents because the level of its reservoir is running low. Assistant City Manager Billy Taya says dry weather and other factors have left Lake Decatur more than 30 inches below normal. Taya says starting Monday, people who live in Decatur will be able to water yards only one day a week and won't be allowed to wash vehicles at home or fill pools or hot tubs. Champaign police have found a teenager who'd been missing for nearly 2 days. They'd put out a public request for information into 16-year-old Michael Henneman after his car and cell phone were found Tuesday night. Police say the teen reappeared this morning. Despite objections from China, President Bush will attend a ceremony to award Congress's highest civilian honor to the Dalai Lama. The ceremony will take place a week before the Dalai Lama travels to Indiana for a 6-day visit to Bloomington and West Lafayette. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. Time on a Thursday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the two-state region, the Midwest, the nation, and the globe. On the line with us this afternoon from Massachusetts, agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Let's start with the two-state region, Illinois and Indiana, east central part of Illinois, west central part of Indiana. How are we stacking up for the next couple of days?
Well, we have a system working its way out of the picture to the east of us, but still generating a few clouds, mostly afternoon and evening variety, but not much to worry about. It's there's some cool air is filtered in behind it, and we're looking at temperatures tonight getting down to around 40 degrees both areas, and then up into about the low to mid-60s tomorrow and again on Saturday. Then things warm up rather dramatically, and we have a beautiful weekend in store. Temperatures getting up into the mid-70s with mostly fair skies. Late in the weekend, maybe towards Monday, forenoon or afternoon, we may see some sprinkles come across the northern part of the region. But once again, we think most of central southern Illinois, central southern Indiana will be devoid of any of this light activity. Fair weather then continues right on through the balance of the week. So just a chance of some showers Monday, maybe Tuesday. But fair weather throughout should be just a beautiful period.
Field operations to continue across to this part of the world, and I would suspect the Midwest at that point then?
Yes, they will. They've been a little bit soggy in the upper Midwest and northwest Iowa where things have bogged down, but they're getting it going. The harvest progress is ahead of schedule in most of the Midwest, and of course in the deep south where it's been so dry, there's been nothing to slow the harvest. The question is how much are they harvesting?
Speaking of being dry, those folks in the South America with the soybean planting have been holding off because it's been so dry. Have they gotten any rainfall or expectations of such?
No, it hasn't happened yet. It's been mostly stuck down in Uruguay and maybe Rio Grande do Sul, the southernmost state of Brazil. There were a few promising showers that got up into the west central areas of the soybean and the crop areas of southern Brazil. But they were too light, really, to get things underway, and they've had more dry weather. And I'm not terribly optimistic about them getting much rain in the next few days, but there is some sign that the summer monsoon will work its way northward through there, and they'll start to get showers. But meanwhile, they've had some hot weather up in there. It's been bad for most of the crop regions from Parana northward through Minas, and that's really a tough dry spell for them. Whereas farther south in the Argentine, the showers have arrived down there. Things are picking up as far as moisture is concerned, and things are starting to look good down there.
We appreciate you being with us for the day.
My pleasure.
And that's Pete Levitt. He's a meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Thursday. If you're a fan of ag and the radio station in general, get ready to dial. Not today, but tomorrow. And thanks to all those folks who dialed during our power hour this morning. Raised more than $80,000. Got a long ways to go. We're headed to 200 grand for the total of the drive. If you've never given before, this is a big opportunity for you. 250 new friends expected over this drive. We'd like you to be one of them. Call in tomorrow with your pledge of support. We'll give you the numbers then. I'm Todd Gleason.